everywhere. If you can't help, don't stop and stare, 'cause the good book says you just might turn to stone. Well, I was running through the woods, I was wild and free, when I tripped on a branch from a fallen tree, and I fell head first in the mud and the branch and the leaves. There in the stump of a hollow tree, half covered up with a bunch of leaves, I found somebody's stash of dirty magazines. And all those dirty magazines, like nothing I'd ever seen. A lot of women, a lot of skin, well, I could see how it all fits in. My face is beginning to grin, my head is beginning to spin. But I turned around and headed for home, felt myself turning to stone. Well, I spent most summers at a Boy Scout camp, singing the Happy Wanderer and Tramp, 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 and discussing what was art and what was obscene. But in addition to teaching the nature merit, but the best part of that job I had, in addition to teaching the nature merit badge, I was the major confiscator of dirty magazines. And all those dirty magazines, nothing I'd ever seen. A lot of women, a lot of skin, but I can see how it all fits in. My face is beginning to grin, my head is beginning to spin. But I turned around and headed for home, when I felt myself turning to stone. And then I hit the road for old Penn State. It was so far from home and I could hardly wait. I had visions that Miss September would be there waiting on me. And I remember Mama waving goodbye from the yard. She said, good luck, son, and study hard. And I said, Mama, you know you can count on me. And all them dirty magazines, like nothing I'd ever seen. A lot of women, a lot of skin, well, I could see how it all fits in. My face is beginning to grin, and my head is beginning to spin. But I turned around and headed for home, turning to stone. But now I am an older man. I got a family, a dog, a cat, and a van. But sometimes I recall the little boy would see. And he head on over to the Stop and Go, right there behind the counter. What do you know? They got a wide selection of your favorite magazines. And all them dirty magazines, like nothing I'd ever seen. A lot of women, a lot of skin. Well, I can see how it all fits in. My face is beginning to grin. My head is beginning to spin. But I turned around and headed for home, when I felt myself turning to stone.
Well, I have to confess that since the very first time I heard that song, which has to be at least 5 years ago, I've wanted to have it played at Sterling Study Group. But I never could think of a reason until now. And when Gail decided that she had a wedding to go to and wasn't able to speak this week, and I suddenly was on the schedule without a musician, with a week's notice pretty much, I thought, well, I'm going to have to be creative this time. And I thought, who's local that might be available? And I thought that TM is local. And when TM spoke to me about it, he said, I'd be glad to play, but you'll have to pick the songs. And I thought, oh, now's my chance. I'm finally going to get the chance to do that. And now, why am I doing that? And I realized that so often in my life, somebody told me something that really wasn't true, but I interpreted what I experienced through the filter of that teaching. And there are some teachings, like TM's maybe, that his experience taught him fairly quickly probably wasn't accurate. But there are some other limiting beliefs that we kind of absorb and we don't let our experience change our experience of that, because we take for granted that it's true. And as we believe it, law of attraction brings us more of it. So we see what we believe manifesting around us rather than what is true. And in Science of Mind, we often distinguish between a truth and a fact. That what's happening in the physical reality may be a fact, but the truth is something different. Holmes said, there is nothing to be disintegrated or reintegrated. There is only that to be revealed that has always been whole. So we're looking for the wholeness. We're looking to see that truth that is a higher reality than the reality we happen to be experiencing in the moment. So we are experiencing a higher truth when we see the light in someone. We're experiencing a higher truth when we feel the love, even in a situation where there's hurt or anger. We're seeing the higher truth when we step into the memory that it's all God, that everything is God, that it's all the unfolding of Spirit. And yesterday I got an email from somebody who asked me to do a treatment for her, and one of the phrases that she likes is, God is on the field. And so I had written, God is on the field, and I know that all is well, because I knew that that was something that she responds to. And then I went out for a walk in the woods, and as I was walking through the woods, I was hearing that phrase, God is on the field, and thinking that that is a comforting phrase to me too sometimes, to remember that God is in every situation. But that particular night, all of a sudden, I remembered even more powerfully that God is the field. That there is no field God is not on. God is on every field. God is the very fabric of every field, of all creation, of every being, of every situation we can be in. God is the field in which we exist. And so it's not a matter of bringing God in where God is not. It's a matter of perceiving how God is already here. So coming to a deeper understanding of Source, for me now, it's a matter of expanding my capacity to perceive, to becoming more sensitive to the vibration of love that exists right here, whether I am currently perceiving it or not. So remembering that is such a powerful thing. So I thought we could look back at some of the ideas that we had that weren't accurate about Spirit, but I bet we've done a lot of that already. And rather than do that, what I decided to do today was look at some of the most uplifting, expansive, joyous statements I've ever heard about God, and that I would share them with you and offer them in kind of an atmosphere of meditation, so that you could contemplate some ideas and see how they feel to you. Because in the past, in other situations, when people talk to me about God, they didn't necessarily give me a choice as to whether that made sense to me or whether I believed that. They told me, this is true and you have to believe this. And when I came into Science of Mind and heard that Ernest Holmes said, no one can tell you what's true for you except you, it was like this tremendous relief to me. All of a sudden, there was this feeling that, wow, there is that within me that knows. There is that within me that recognizes what is expansive, what is warm and loving and peaceful and freeing. And then I realized this morning that I was going to ask you to feel some thoughts and see how they feel to you. And I had jump into my mind in clear perspective a conversation I had yesterday with one of my friends. And I remember saying to him, rather defensively, when he asked me to participate in an experience in Pennsylvania, I said, but I'm not kinesthetic the way you are. And he said, Connie, this isn't a test. you come to things from a different perspective, and I appreciate that about you. That's why I'm asking you to be here, not because you're the same, but because you're different. And I recognize that if I'm asking you to feel something, then I must at some level be able to feel it myself, or I wouldn't know to ask to invite you to feel it. So that gave me an opportunity this morning to meditate on how do I feel thoughts? What do they feel like to me? And I came up with a whole list of them. Some of them feel warm or cold. Some feel expansive or contractive. Some feel clear or muddy. Some feel open or closed. Some feel free or bound. Some feel flat or fun. Some feel hard or soft. Some I can envision dropping in a cool pool and seeing if it floats or sinks. I could consider a thought as a playmate. Would I invite it to my party? I can ask how it affects my body. Does it make me more tense or does it help me relax? When I hear it, do I breathe in more deeply or do I hold my breath? Does it look sparkly or dull to me? Does it feel like an open doorway or a locked gate? Are you touched or untouched when you encounter this feeling? Do you get goosebumps? Are you moved or unmoved? Shaken or stirred? Is it received or released? Does it resonate or do you feel indifferent or repelled? Do you feel joyful or withdrawn from this? There are so many different ways to feel thoughts. And those were just the ones that came to me since this morning. And I actually typed up that list for you, so you'll have it to take home if you want to refer to it again. We're going to do an exercise with it in the second half. But that's just to give you kind of an opportunity for context. When I ask you to feel a thought in this little meditation we're going to do, see whether it feels like one of those things to you, something, and maybe something entirely different. You know, I have a friend who gets tingles on the top of her head when something really resonates with her. There are all different responses we can have to ideas, but we do respond to ideas, and particularly to thoughts of God. And I don't ask you to take any of these in as truth. I just am inviting you to consider them as possibilities. And the more possibilities we consider, the better experience we can have of spirit. Because as we open the doors to ways people who have really experienced spirit, and that's the definition of mystic, it's someone who's had a direct experience of the divine. Time magazine says that 70% of people in America have nuministic experiences, direct experiences of the divine in one way or another at some time in their lives. 70% is a lot of people. So direct experience is available, and most of us already have it. And if we don't, then perhaps we want to consider opening to it. Anything anyone says about God is necessarily incomplete, because God is not only infinite, but God is beyond time and space entirely. It's the creation behind, creator behind the creation. So there's always more to be said. There's always more to be explored. We're never going to exhaust God. But what we can do, and what Science of Mind encourages us to do, is to contemplate Source and to welcome the direct experience ourselves of what the divine feels like. And so I went to Love Poems from God, which is quotes from mystics of all traditions, from, you know, from very, very old to relatively recent, some 20th century mystics too. And I've got quotes from Ernest Holmes, I've got quotes from David Spangler, I've got quotes from a couple of my friends in here, and so we'll just kind of spend a little time contemplating other people's ideas about God and feeling how they feel. And I'm going to give you a list of these to take home too, so you don't need to write them down or whatever. If you hear something that resonates, you'll have it to take home. So just feel. I'm inviting you to feel. And if you don't like to feel, think or daydream or practice your next song in your head or whatever feels good. So let's just relax and breathe. I believe that all there is God. And I believe that every time we encounter the world, we encounter it in some powerful way. Mother Teresa said that everything we encounter is God, sometimes in distressing disguises. But finding that spirit, finding that life, allowing ourselves, being willing to go more deeply into the divine, to feel our way into the divine, to allow our perceptions to expand, our sensitivity to grow, as we begin to touch the edges of our belief and disbelief and explore the possibility of expanding our horizons with some of the thoughts of people who are known for experiencing the divine directly. Ernest Holmes said, "Spiritual evolution should make the infinite not more distant, but more intimate." How does that feel to you? Meister Eckhart said, "How long will grown men and women in this world keep drawing in their coloring books an image of God that makes them sad?" It's a lie, he also said, any talk of God that doesn't comfort you. Rumi wrote, "On a day when the wind is perfect, the sail just needs to open and the love starts. Today is such a day." Kabir wrote, "If I told you the truth about God, you might think I was an idiot. If I lied to you about the beautiful one, you might parade me through the streets shouting, 'This guy is a genius.' This world has its pants on backwards. Thus, having a clear grasp of the situation, if I am asked anything these days, I just laugh." Hafiz said, "Know the true nature of your beloved. In his loving eyes, your every thought, word, and movement is always, always beautiful." We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. That's a contemporary song written by Mitten. David Spangler, another contemporary mystic, wrote, "May we step into the open spaces that connect us to all beings, seen and unseen. and feel the infinite support of that loving field where each is given a unique sovereignty to fulfill. Tukaram said, "I couldn't lie anymore, so I started to call my dog God." First he looked confused, then he started smiling, then he even danced. "I kept at it, now he doesn't even bite. I am wondering if this might work on people." Breathe and relax and notice how you feel. Saint Francis of Assisi said, "Such love does the sky now pour that whenever I stand in a field, I have to ring out the light when I get home." Meister Eckhart said, "My Lord told me a joke, and seeing him laugh has done more for me than any scripture I will ever read." Rumi wrote, "Love exists everywhere around us and permeates everything. Link your spirit to love itself. Open your heart to existence." Ernest Holmes said, "Humanity is divinity wearing a mask." He also said, "Take the heat out from under old hurts, and what is left is light." Richard Moss wrote, "It is in each of us in our very being moment to moment that the infinite and the finite continuously marry and incarnate as new possibility." Wayne Mueller wrote, "We are already and always on sacred ground. The gifts of grace and delight are present and abundant. The time to live and love and give thanks and rest and delight is now, this moment, this day. Feel what heaven is like. Have a taste of eternity. Rest in the arms of the divine. The time to sleep, to rest, is now. We are already home." Tukaram said, "If God would stop telling jokes, I might act serious." And at the end of every Abraham Hicks workshop, they say, "There is great love here for you." So we allow ourselves to feel the thoughts, the words, the attempts of the mystic to touch the divine and bring it into form so that we can communicate heart to heart what they have touched within themselves. And we have that same capacity. As we tune ourselves more fully to the mystical vibration, as we begin to see the oneness of life, as we allow ourselves to postulate love is there even when we don't see it yet, we open to the possibility of new eyes. Proust said, "The greatest voyage of life, the greatest adventure is not in seeking new landscapes, but in seeing with new eyes." Ask yourself if you're willing to see with new eyes. Are you willing to touch the joy of the divine? To feel the light expanding within you? To see the light when you look out in the faces? To feel it in the hearts of others. How much God are you willing to experience in yourself, in the world, in life? The first step to higher consciousness is the willingness to invite it in. And to me, it's the most glorious adventure possible. It was really fun for me when I read in Please Understand Me that most people aren't as passionate about the meaning of life as I am. But I find it fascinating to feel a thought about God that makes life richer. To contemplate a song that makes me think or laugh or get thrill bumps. To touch those in some way who've touched the divine directly and expand my own capacity to tune to the divine, to allow it in, to receive it. It's always there. 24/7, 365, Spirit has been speaking to each of us, saying, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." Are we letting it in? Are we feeling the love? Are we willing to feel the love more fully? I am. I am. And so it is.